Would you like a chocolate? Would you like a box of chocolates? Hands up, those who love chocolates in the room. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's such a wonderful mixture, isn't it? A box of chocolates. In here are your favourites. And in here are some that maybe you don't quite like so much, but they're at least they're chocolates. And then sometimes the box runs out of chocolates. It's a fabulous metaphor for life. In your life, some things are fabulous. In your life, some things aren't too bad. And in your life, some things are bloody awful. Toastmasters, I was particularly confident. I was happy about the way in which my life was going. I had been ever so privileged that I thought life was going to be absolutely easy. Until the day that it wasn't. I hit a terrible wall. I got a bout of severe depression. And I was in bits, and I was living in Bradford-on-Avon, in the West Country in England. And I was so bad that I couldn't go to work. I just couldn't. And it isn't something that had happened to me before, and in a way nobody knew. I didn't tell people that that was what I was going through. I went to the doctor. And I sat in the doctor's waiting room with my head in my hands. And when Dr. John Smith came out and said, "Come into the room," I couldn't speak. I basically went down on the table, and all I was able to say to the doctor was, "I can't go to work." He was a kind-faced doctor. He had a nice warm face, bit of grey hair. He looked like a decent human being. And he said, "Okay." And he wrote on the certificate, "Viral depression." No, not viral depression. Viral infection. Which, of course, it wasn't. But as far as I was concerned, that was fine. It satisfied my employer, and I went home. And I sat for 2 weeks in a room where I closed the curtains, where I shut the door, and I did not answer the telephone. I was in bits. I felt worthless, my self-esteem was gone, and I felt incapable of doing anything. 2 weeks later, I went back to the doctor. I was as bad as I was. And he wrote depression on the certificate, and I didn't care. I didn't care who knew. I just couldn't cope. So I went home and I sat in my front room day after day. I wouldn't let anyone come near me. I dropped out of family. I stopped eating food. I stopped having a drink. And above all, I didn't shave. Day after day. It was excruciating. And Then one day, a knock came to the door. And in came Moira O'Brien, my friend. She didn't ring bell or anything like that. She just walked in. I was sitting on the sofa, as usual, doing nothing. And while sitting on that sofa, she just sat beside me and she said, nothing. She read my body language. She could see. I said a few words, I'm sure, I can't quite remember. And she turned to me. Paul, I can see you're in a very bad way. A very bad way. And she bent over and she said, keep on breathing. Keep on breathing. And she left. And as she left, I realized that she must have been afraid that I was going to do something awful. It went on like that for a couple of weeks. And then I went outside of the house for a minute. The following day, I went outside for 5 minutes. And a couple of days after that, I walked to the end of the garden. I kept on breathing. I took her advice. But I began to breathe in the air of the world outside, of nature. And I did this for about 2 weeks. I went out every day. Until one day, I had an absolutely stunning experience. A box of chocolates was delivered. I was recovering. I got better. I have some advice for you. You know somebody who's in a bad way. I can see it in the room. If you get a chance, go to them, tell them you see how they are, and tell them, keep on breathing the breath of life.